Says he's still studying the matter, but Mr. Obama speaks of a need to defend what he describes as a well-established international norm against the use of chemical weapons.
I have not made a final decision about various actions that might be taken to help enforce that norm. As I've already said, I have had my military and our team look at a wide range of options.
The administration says it does have high confidence that it was Syria's government that carried out a chemical weapons attack last week outside Damascus.
The United States government now knows that at least 1,429 Syrians were killed in this attack, including at least 426 children.
Secretary of State Kerry says the Assad regime prepared for the attack for several days. He says the chemical-laden rockets were launched from regime-controlled areas. Michael Eisenstadt is with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, and he says that at this point, it's virtually impossible for President Obama not to order some kind of military strike on Syria.
He's pretty far out on a limb, and it would be pretty much impossible for him to walk it back at this point without severe loss of credibility.
The UK, Germany, and Canada say they will not be taking part in any military strike on Syria. NATO also taking a pass. Also at SRNnews.com, firefighters in California say they're making progress as they struggle to contain California's enormous rim fire. It's now 32% contained. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 19 points. The NASDAQ is off 26. This is SRN News.
Good afternoon, Tucson. At 12:02, I'm Ray Allen at AM 1030, KVOY, The Voice. This news update is provided by the Arizona Daily Star. The first of eight streetcars that will run from the U of A to downtown arrived in Tucson this morning. It'll be at least 3 months, though, before the streetcar starts testing on the rails. Delivery of the first streetcar is about a year behind schedule. The system is expected to be up and running by next summer. And taxpayers will pay for some mistakes that were made by Pima Community College on student veterans. A VA investigation found that the college didn't accurately report veteran students who either left the school or flunked out, but the VA still paid those benefits to the college. Those benefits total almost $67,000. College officials say they've corrected the problems. The former students' names have been turned over to a VA debt collection agency. And the Tucson Padres wrapped up their play in Tucson last night, losing 2-1 to Reno. But we have a big sports weekend ahead of us. The football season for high school starts tonight. Most of the games are at 7 o'clock. Also, Rich Rodriguez kicks off his second season as head of the Arizona Wildcats as Arizona takes on NAU tonight at 7 at Arizona Stadium. And U of A volleyball tips off against Central Arkansas at 1 in McHale, and women's soccer host UC Riverside at 4:30. City, county, state, and federal offices will be closed Labor Day Monday. Banks will also be closed. SunTran will operate on a Sunday schedule, and city and county garbage and recycling will be delayed by 1 day. Weather for the Tucson area this Labor Day weekend, about a 30% chance of showers on Saturday and Sunday with daytime highs in the mid to upper 90s, overnight lows at about 77. Coming up next, we have the Buckmaster Show at AM 1030, KVOY, Tucson's intelligent voice.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, live on KVOI, 1030 AM, Tucson's intelligent voice. I'm Dan Shearer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who's on vacation in cooler climes up in Canada with his bride. Bill has turned the microphone over to a few of us this week, and we have certainly enjoyed the privilege. We stream the show online at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can download the podcasts there or at tucsonsentinel.com or tucsoncitizen.com. You can also get updates on Bill's Facebook page. Just look for Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show, and you will find it. Our Friday Focus interview today is with two folks from down my way, Sarita Mayor Dwayne Bloomberg and recent arrival, our new Economic Development Manager, Victor Gonzalez. Welcome, gentlemen.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here today. Mayor, if we asked you how you spent your summer vacation, we'd be here the rest of the day, but give us a quick glimpse of what you've been doing for the last month.
Okay. A couple friends of mine from Quail Creek were taking a tour of Asia, Thailand, Laos, and Cambodia, and they invited me along. So I've been spending a month there, just got back last week. We started in Bangkok, made our way up to the north of Thailand, up to the border with Myanmar, Burma, and then we took a river cruise down the Mekong and wound up in Cambodia.
Wow, terrific trip.
Interesting places.
So what's there for Sarita? Any opportunities?
Probably not. this was
you're way too
totally
honest.
A vacation.
Okay. Okay, so I'm assuming the taxpayers did not pay for too much
Absolutely.
Of this?
Absolutely. Okay,
just had to check. Okay, let's address some issues closer to home. If you have a question or comment, feel free to call in on our KVOI live line at 790-2040. That is 790-2040. Mayor Bloomberg, we are in Sarita headed down a path, maybe it's a slow trot at this point, but toward annexing east. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. Well, geography indicates that the only way for the town to expand in the future is to the east, and also certain growth and transportation patterns in the county indicate that that's going to be the place to be. We would like to capture and be a player in that area. What we're trying to do now is to figure out just what that area would be. We're trying to figure out what life in the desert might be like in 20 or 30 years.
Right.
And what kind of different things we could do there.
Okay. And so, like I said, we're early in this process. What's going on right now, and when can we expect maybe to see a little bit of more concrete action?
We've formed a group involving some people from the town and some consultants and so forth, and we're trying to plan this out. I think that the council will have a study session on this, probably not on the 9th of September, but maybe on the 23rd.
Okay. Do we know how much we're looking at right away or down the line?
We've always been looking at approximately 16 sections, which would expand the eastern boundary of the town from Country Club Road down to Wilmot area. That intersection of Sarita Road and Wilmot is going to be a big place in the future. And that's, however, some people are talking about even more than that.
Okay, very good.
It will depend heavily on the state land department because most of it is state trust land.
Right, and what do we look at when we look at possibly annexing? I mean, there's a cost to the town, and frankly, there are certain areas you want and certain areas you don't want.
Right. Well, fortunately or not, this particular area is not very densely populated at all. So we'll be glad to take the whole area. Yes, when you incorporate, you run into some expenses. You have obligations to provide certain services and such. But we're going to do that in such a way that it will not be a cost to the current residents or businesses in the town.
Okay. Okay. A different topic, and Victor, feel free to jump in if you want. The town is looking at a possible CFD, which is a community facilities district, and basically you're taxing yourself to get a jump on building public infrastructure with that. We're doing that at the same time that the county is looking at possibly putting forth a bond election either next year or 2015. Isn't that an awful lot to ask of residents, potentially?
It may be, and therefore we'll have to watch the rate very carefully, the taxing rate, if we do this CFD. The CFD, as proposed, is for the Rancho Sarita development,
right?
Unfinished parts of that. And it is one of the mechanisms to try to help ensure that growth pays for itself and that public infrastructure can be developed for that without impacting our current residents and businesses.
Okay, very good. Victor, welcome to Sarita.
Thank you.
Yeah, when did you start?
It's my fourth week.
Okay.
My fourth week. As they say, jump in the deep end and start treading water.
There you go. There's so much going on in Sarita. And I tell you, like too many people, I never really heard of it before I moved there 4.5 years ago. And we have fallen in love with this town. It is just a tremendous place, and I'm sure you will too. You bring a great deal of experience. You really know Arizona. You've worked in economic development in Yuma, Gilbert, Flagstaff. You come to us from Douglas. One of the things that we talk about a lot here is bringing aerospace and trade with Mexico. And you have obviously some border experience down in Douglas. Exactly what do we mean, though, when we talk about going after those two areas? And jump in, Mayor, if you want to. But we're talking about aerospace and trade with Mexico. How do you make those things happen in your community?
Absolutely. And they're two very valid areas for economic development. You know, not only the initiatives are taking place at the statewide, but locally. And interesting enough, both aerospace and trade with Mexico overlap because of the strong aerospace industry that already exists in the state of Sonora. But certainly for the town of Sahuarita, I think it's really defining the vision first and foremost. And, you know, having been here just 4 weeks, I've had the advantage of being an observer. Third party coming in and really from a third party perspective looking at what's taking place. And my observation has led me to believe that certainly the growth has been there, but it's been a growth where, you know, has happened rapidly. And really, we
right.
at the town level from an economic development planning perspective, there's been documents developed, studies, and so on and so forth. But I think it's time now to move from that planning stage and really start to cultivate a vision, both for aerospace and Mexico. In regards to aerospace, you know, with any community or with any industry that you're trying to attract, you know, with new technology, intellectual capital is key. And the town of Sahuarita has the luxury of having this intellectual capital within its population.
So we're talking about smart people here. And you say the industry really is just looking for that. Can you provide the right people to fill the jobs?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Several years ago, the town of Sahuarita initiated a workforce assessment study that was put on by the University of Arizona. And in that study, the results identify that in the town of Sahuarita, employed workforce displayed a higher level of education.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about 34-35% of the Sahuarita's residents having a bachelor's degree or higher in terms of educational attainment. And you know, one of the things that we're going to look at very closely in the coming weeks and months is really identifying that economic integration between Sahuarita's population and the aerospace employment centers in southeast Tucson. I think that in itself can give us a good indication of the labor force, the educational attainment, but also the opportunity of spinoffs happening within the town of Sahuarita. You know, an engineer of some sort that's working for one of the aerospace companies, having lived in Sahuarita, enjoy the quality of life and all the amenities,
right.
would want to develop maybe a homegrown business there, a microtech cluster. And, you know, regards to international trade, very hot topic. Just took part yesterday in the Transportation and Trade Corridor Alliance that is part of the Arizona Commerce Authority and Arizona-Mexico Commission and ADOT. You know, the subject matter was about trade with Mexico and how we leverage that. For Sahuarita, certainly looking at ways of how we can adopt the border region. There's tremendous activity happening with the maquila industry. And we know, and this is something that we'll look into more detail, that there is a good population percentage of residents from Sahuarita that engage on a daily basis with the maquila industry.
Exactly.
From the engineering to all the way to your executives and plant managers. And so I think the focus and the vision for Sahuarita going future is how do we add value to that economic activity? You know, the aerospace activity that's happening, how did Sahuarita add value? Certainly mm-hmm. could be from a cool. microtech cluster development, taking into account its population. and the add value to the trade and integration with Mexico.
Okay, and Mayor, Victor talks about defining the vision, and actually the town is going to be setting some goals and doing it publicly here in the next few weeks. When is this?
I'm not quite sure on the dates. One important thing, the town recently completed a national survey of its residents about how they feel about things in the town.
Right.
And one of the results is that of a list of different things that are very, very important to the residents, at the top was this economic development. More jobs in this area, more businesses, more shopping opportunities and the like. So the town, I hope that the council will agree to put more emphasis in these areas.
Okay, very good. Okay, you're listening to the Friday Focus interview with Sarita Mayor Duane Bloomberg and Sarita Economic Development Manager Victor Gonzalez. The number is 790-2040 if you have a question for either of them. But we will be right back here in just a few moments on The Buckmaster Show.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAMobility.com or Facebook.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees, but we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
12:20 p.m. on Friday, and I'm Dan Shearer with the Green Valley News, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, and we're here with Sarita Mayor Duane Bloomberg and Sarita Economic Development Manager Victor Gonzalez, talking about what's going on down south of Tucson. Mayor, Interstate 11 getting a little bit of attention here. What's going on with that?
Yes, indeed. Well, as you know, Congress has officially designated the route for I-11 from Vegas to Phoenix, essentially. And now the question is, how will I-11 play out farther south, and how will it connect with Mexico and so forth? And ADOT is now in the process of trying to identify all of the possibilities for that, and that will eventually come down to a choice. And for the entire southern Arizona area, this is very important. We're now a player in it. When I first started being aware of all of this, no one was thinking very much about what would happen past Phoenix or maybe past Casa Grande, but now they are. And indications are that some of the possibilities being looked at would involve our town.
Well, and actually one of the early maps shows it hooking up at I-19 and Sarita Road, which is maybe the key intersection in the entire state south of Tucson.
Indeed, it may well
and
be.
It got even more so.
But it's still all under study. And to be frank with you, as you know, there's a lot of politics in a decision like that.
So
we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, certainly not the first time that this has been thrown out there to have some sort of an interstate down here. But now it seems like it's much more serious talk than in the past.
Right.
And we'll see exactly what it could potentially mean for our area.
Yeah. And the funding, of course, will be the big issue.
Absolutely. Right now, though, early on, are you seeing much opposition to it? As Victor mentioned, you guys have been at a conference this week. What are you hearing about this?
I don't think there's much opposition or disagreement with the idea that this needs to happen. Now, whenever you do a road, as soon as you draw a particular line on the map,
then they come
there
out.
Will be positives and negatives and supporters and opponents. But I think for the general concept, people are in agreement.
Okay, well, let me put you on the spot here a little bit then, because you were at this conference of Arizona League and Cities and Towns.
Yes.
Pima County, does it have a reputation in the state when it comes to business as being maybe not as friendly as it could be?
I wouldn't say quite that. The political structure, of course, the city of Tucson is the dominant economic engine in our county.
Right.
And its political structure and the way it does things are different. And everyone knows that. And whether it's hard to say that it's not business friendly or anything, because we look at all the things that have happened in Tucson and in Pima County over the last several years.
Okay.
But it's different.
Okay.
Let me leave it at that.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to leave it at that. Victor, okay. I'm going to throw it back over to you. He used the term business friendly, which we hear out there a lot. What does that mean to you? And be real here. What does it mean for a town to be business friendly? You don't want to sell out and give everything over, but you do want to attract businesses. It's a delicate dance.
Not at all. I think it just comes down to philosophically how you approach that. What we're looking at, or what I'm tasked to look at, is how we establish or build upon what has already been established. So, you know, not only looking at the key areas of opportunities and development from an economic development standpoint, but also how do we begin to improve the overall delivery system for economic development as a program. And so we start to look at how we engage the private sector when we're looking at projects, and also how do we engage the public sector and the management of that process through. I'll be looking at in the coming weeks how we implement a program that is going to be business friendly. The details are, making sure that we're responsive in a manner in which we need to be, that we understand the project and the parameters of the project. And in some cases, when we aren't able to deliver, be truthful to that project. So those are areas that we'll also implement from an economic development standpoint. The delivery system as well as the areas of opportunity from an economic development standpoint. But I just wanted to mention a little bit about make a comment about the I-11. I think for Sahuarita, it's pivotal that we're at the table during the discussion. Ultimately, we don't want to be on the wrong side of the tracks, if you understand that term.
Oh, yeah.
And so we want to make sure that corridor, when we start to look at the ultimate alignment, it aligns correctly with Sahuarita so that the proper development happens, on the north or south side of the road, and that Sahuarita reaps the benefits.
Very good. As I mentioned, I moved to Sahuarita in January of 2009, and even in that short amount of time have seen just so many changes. And we said goodbye about a week and a half ago to the one-stop market, which was just a mainstay, a landmark
yes,
in the town.
Indeed.
The Sarita Bar, they'd been closed for years, but they actually were bulldozed and for progress. And it's interesting that the people there, they share their memories, they have their memories, but they understand that this is progress. And we've seen an awful lot going on. Even in the past year, Victor, we've seen a lot of new businesses come down the pike, a lot of changes in Sahuarita. What's your sense as we look at what has come in over the past year? It's got to be encouraging.
Oh, absolutely. And I think we'll see more in the coming future. And what's really exciting is that we're getting the attention from national retailers. Just recently, Joann's opened up, as well as AutoZone.
Right.
In the coming months, we'll see Big Five, as well as, I'm sure everyone in the town is going to love, Dunkin' Donuts and
Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah. So it's a lethal combination, but needless to say, I think we'll all enjoy that that combination. But absolutely, the town's also going to be proactive in addressing the commercial pent-up demand that we have locally. We'll be participating in different events in which we'll be able to engage with national retailers, and so we're hopeful to be able to keep the flow of this national attention that we're getting from these major retailers.
Right, and we talked also, I think, last week on Bill's show about Pub 22, which is the former El Charro. El Charro just didn't make it down there, but the same owners opened Pub 22, which is a gastro pub, I guess, which means lots of beer and lots of food.
Right.
And it's actually doing quite well, getting great reviews. It also, along with, you mentioned a couple of other businesses, Victor, now means, I believe, the Rancho Sarita Marketplace is 100% occupied. Mayor, I know this is not your thing, but when are we going to get phase two down there, some more businesses?
When the market allows.
Okay. Are we heading that direction?
Yes. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Definitely so.
Very good. Yeah, we'd like to see a little bit more. And what does it mean, as Victor said, that some of these chains are now taking notice of us?
Well, one, it means our population, rooftops, if you will, has reached a critical stage, and the demographics of the population in terms of age and income and disposable income,
right,
so forth and so on, fit what these retailers are looking for.
Okay, very good. And we have just less than a minute here, but we don't know when Pima County is going to put the bond out there. Could be next year,
right.
Could be 2015. What does Sarita's have going on in there?
Several things for us, a business incubator to help growth of companies, a recreation center with a municipal pool and so forth and so on, and some new ball fields,
okay,
which we desperately need in the town.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll see how that plays out in coming weeks and months and what the county decides as far as next year or the year after, as far as
yes,
that goes. I want to thank my guests, Victor Gonzalez, who's the newly hired economic development manager for the town of Sahuarita, and Mayor Bloomberg. Thank you both for being here. The Reporters Roundtable is next on the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back.
with SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama says he has not made a final decision about a military strike on Syria, but he says he is considering a limited and narrow action in response to a chemical weapons attack that he says Syria's government carried out last week. Mr. Obama says that attack was a challenge to the world and threatens U.S. national security. Secretary of State Kerry says the U.N. cannot tell the world anything about the chemical weapons attack that the U.S. doesn't already know and hasn't already made public. Security and military officials in Yemen say a suspected U.S. drone strike has killed three alleged al-Qaeda terrorists, including a provincial leader of the group. On Wall Street, stocks are lower. The Dow is down about 26 points at 14,815. The Nasdaq off 26. More details at srnnews.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time now for the Reporters Roundtable, where local media bat around the issues of the week. I'm joined by Mark B. Evans, the administrator of TucsonCitizen.com, and Linda Valdez, editorial writer for the Arizona Republic. Welcome to you both.
Hey, Dan.
Okay, Mark, let me see if I heard you right when you hosted Bill's show yesterday. I'm going to put you on the spot. You reminded the listeners that he's on vacation and that Bill's, quote, faithful cast of radio rookies.
That's right.
Is handling the mic this week. You want to defend that remark?
No.
You don't need to, actually.
I filled in for Bill twice. I think being the host of a show for twice doesn't make me any kind of radio veteran.
Nor do
I believe you to be a radio veteran yourself, or Sarah, or anybody else who filled in.
Yeah, we have a face for print, as we say, and for radio. Bill
right.
makes it look way, way too easy. Okay, Linda, on Tuesday, the Arizona Republic, azcentral.com, 12 News, and USA Today hosted a forum up in Mesa on immigration. It drew Senators Flake and McCain, and you were part of that. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, that was. We had the senators for a whole hour, and they responded to audience questions, questions from some of us in the media, and questions from social media. They really made the case for their Gang of Eight Senate immigration bill, and it was quite interesting. I mean, the senators, McCain especially, was not going to accept the notion that the House will not accept a path to citizenship. He thinks that's still a possibility. And they both seem, they're trying very hard to be optimistic about what might happen in the House. And they are also saying that they have limited influence. What they're trying to do at this point is influence community members, the business community in particular, so that they can put pressure on the House and try to turn it around in that way.
Well, Senator McCain said he believes it's going to pass the House. Is this more wishful thinking, or do you think there's really a chance it's going to?
He might know something that I don't. The Republican opposition in the House remains pretty strong. Arizona's Republican delegation remains very uncomfortable with the idea of a path to citizenship. I don't know. I'm certain that the senator is a lot closer to this than I am. He seems to think it's going to fly.
So here's the difference between the Senate and the House, right? The senators are elected statewide, so they have to appeal to all voters. In the House, almost like 80, more than 80% of the House seats are safe seats, which means no matter what that member does for that district, they're going to get reelected. And for most of those Republicans, they don't have to take immigration and the wishes of Latinos or anybody else into consideration, only the people in their district who are opposed to illegal immigration. I do not see them getting enough votes to get this to pass in the House as it's in its current form from the Senate. Now, maybe there'll be some support as we get into next year to do one or two small pieces of it and to break it up and do it into parts, but I don't see it ever getting out of the House. I think it's just going to be kicked around until after next election, and then after next election we're into presidential politics, and maybe something would happen during the race for president, because it'll be a big deal for the 2016 presidential race.
Yeah, Mark raises a really good point about those Republicans in safe districts. Not only do they have no incentive to vote for it, they have an incentive to vote
against it absolutely.
Because they will be challenged from the right. However, one of the things the senators were pointing out, if they get anything out of the House, they can go to conference, and I think that's one option where something could happen.
Well, really, though, is this, though, let's try to push politics aside here for a moment. It is so hard to get people in Washington to talk seriously about this issue in any depth, and it affects so many of us, particularly here in the Southwest. Is this really our last opportunity to really get something done on this? Because it seems like finally you have both sides talking. You know what? Not everybody's happy with it, and not everybody's going to be happy, but it does seem like our last opportunity. And I'll tell you where this really hits home for me. Now that I live in southern Arizona, real southern Arizona, I just don't like this idea of stepping over bodies in the desert. And we're just doing it so often down here, and you hear about it, you know, people within our community or just right outside our community, you know, Green Valley, Sahuarita, they're dying in the desert. And this is one thing that can really help stop that. And it's, to me, it's not political. It's really about lives. Is this our last opportunity to get this thing to pass?
Well, you're absolutely right. It is about people and human lives, and that should be a bigger focus than it is. The conventional wisdom is if it doesn't happen by the end of the year, it's unlikely to happen because we will already be into the election season for 2014. the Senator McCain made the point that this bill is not perfect, but it's a compromise, and it represents something that people from all sides have agreed to. So I don't know if it's the last chance. I would say that it certainly looks like it. At least it would be the last chance for several years.
To me, it's an issue of supply and demand. So as long as there is demand in this country for unskilled labor, semi-skilled labor, and hard labor, you know, people to do the work, to build the homes, to do the construction work and the things like that, and as long as we can't fill those jobs, and there's a huge demand for those jobs, there are going to be people coming across the border to try and fill those positions. That's what's been happening since the 50s or even before. But what has happened is that through our border enforcement policies, we've made it so hard for what was migratory labor. They came and they went back, they came and went back. They can't get back, right? They can go back to Mexico, but then they can't come back again, so they stay. And we've created this huge bolus of people who are stuck here, who are living in the shadows, who are not full citizens of the United States, who are not paying the proper taxes, who are living in constant fear. And as a nation, as a civilized nation, we can't have 12 million people living in the shadows. We have to solve the problem, and the problem won't go away. So I don't think this is our last chance. I think this is going to remain an issue for a long time, and one way or another, we're going to have to solve it.
Thanks, Mark. You are listening to the Reporters Roundtable on The Buckmaster Show. I'm joined by Mark B. Evans of TucsonCitizen.com and Linda Valdez, editorial writer for the Arizona Republic. And just to stay on this just a little bit more, Linda, what are some misconceptions about the legislation? And let's talk specifically about amnesty, because that word is thrown out and it's just a hot button word, and most people just really don't even understand what it means, frankly.
Well, it is the hot button word that this bill would provide amnesty. And amnesty is the forgiveness of sins, basically. Then this bill would allow people to go through a process, pay a penalty for a civil offense, and pay some other penalties, pass some background check, and then they could get on a path to citizenship. That is not amnesty in my perception. But that's the argument. The outcry of no amnesty is what has been turned into basically a political tool to fight against this legislation. It's the biggest barrier. It's the biggest barrier in the House, because they are opposed to the pathway to citizenship, which they say rewards lawbreakers, which I think is another myth about this bill.
Okay, very good. If you want to join the conversation, you can call the KVOI live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. And we actually do have someone on the line here. Doug, you there?
Hey, good afternoon. You guys are bringing up some great points about the humanitarian, the practical aspects of immigration reform. And I'm a Republican and a conservative. And also, we in the radio station have been working with Mexico, because there's another thing that's extremely important, and that's the economics. You know, we really believe that the economic advantages that are going to come from this are going to be incredible. Mexico, I believe, will become a great trading partner and a great partner with us in security as well on the border. But there's two things that have got to change in order for this to happen. One is there's been a culture of corruption in Mexico, and a lot of it's because Mexico's an oligarchy, and we've been meeting with the young new leaders in Mexico, and they don't think like their parents did. Their parents were, what's in it for me and my family? These young leaders look at what's in it for our country, what's in it for Hermosillo, what's in it for Sonora. So this is a great change. The other thing is, America has treated Mexico with arrogance and pride, and that has not played real well in Mexico. They pointed out to me many things that we've done as a nation that have made them feel like second class. So there needs to be a change in that whole relationship. I believe it's going to strengthen us, all of us, as far as America, Canada, and Mexico. I think that's going to become the strongest economic force in the world.
Very good.
So, yeah. Right on our border.
Yeah, but you bring up some good points. Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah, Doug, those are wonderful points. And I think one of the things that we do lose sight of is the value of Mexico as a trading partner. We've been putting so many resources into border security, into border patrol, and we've not been putting the same amount of resources into the ports and to facilitating trade. And that's really a missed opportunity, especially in Arizona. We've got this huge improvement going on of the Mariposa port in Nogales, but there still remain huge questions about whether that port's going to be adequately staffed so that Arizona can take advantage of the improvements. So those are, seeing Mexico as a positive and as a potential much greater trading partner, that's real important.
And he brings up an interesting point, Linda. How closely is Mexico looking at this legislation? Let's look at it from the other side of the border here. How closely are they looking at this and wanting this to get through?
I think it's been important to Mexico for quite some time that that we come up with some sort of immigration reform. They understand that a lot of their citizens are living here, and with some of the anti-immigrant laws that have been passed and the rhetoric, they are concerned about that. I think it matters.
Very good. Okay, let's move on to a different topic. Mark, you were talking U of A football yesterday.
Bear down.
My daughter went to NAU. I don't know why I paid for it. I went to U of A.
There's an endorsement for the Lumberjacks.
Well, the education was fine, but okay. Beyond that. But let's talk about the Tucson Padres, because they are no more.
Right. The Padres came to town after the Sidewinders had left town, which is the AAA team for the Diamondbacks, and after Major League Baseball spring training had left town, as kind of a last gasp of pro baseball in Tucson. We were always considered kind of a way station while another city built the Padres AAA team a new stadium. That ended up happening in El Paso, in downtown El Paso, as part of El Paso's downtown revitalization efforts. But the hope had been that, boy, if we really got out to attend these games and show San Diego how much Tucson loves its pro baseball, that they might change their mind and leave the team here, or that we would attract another team that would want to move here because we just love our baseball in Tucson. Well, it doesn't look like we love our baseball in Tucson. Only about 2,000 people or so, or 2,500 people or so, are going to the games. It's just not enough to be viable. There's some argument as to whether it's the location of the stadium or not. I've argued that I don't think it's the location of the stadium, but the people who love the location, who love baseball, think it's the location of the stadium. I don't know whether we've seen the last of pro baseball in town. There will be a small tournament in October that they're putting on at TEP, or whatever the name of the stadium is now. But I don't think we'll see much after that. They're going to convert that stadium into soccer, and I don't know that we'll see baseball again, pro baseball again in Tucson.
Well, I wondered whether minor league baseball didn't like Tucson or Tucson didn't like minor league baseball, and you seem to have answered that for sure. Linda, let's talk about this legislator from Yuma, Don Shooter, and how he is off the hook this week.
Don Shooter is off the hook this week. Actually, it happened a week ago today. He is the state senator who barged into his grandson's classroom in the spring. It was in March. He went to the front desk. He wanted to confront the teacher. They told him, no, you're going to have to wait. He barged into the classroom. The teacher was frightened. The students were frightened. The police came. He left. He initially faced, I believe it was 9 charges initially. It was reduced to 3 charges. The police did charge him in this. And it has taken the Yuma prosecutor until a week ago today to decide that they were not going to press charges. He was given, he has to pay 2 fines, $1,000 and $1,500, and no admission of guilt, no other penalty, and he's off the hook. And it's kind of an interesting, it's interesting that one wonders how much any of the others of us would have to pay to get off the hook.
This is so extraordinary, and I don't think we've heard the last of this, because essentially what the city prosecutor in Yuma has said is, we're not going to go to court. We're not going to adjudicate this. We're not going to have a trial of the evidence. You're not going to have to plea bargain. Just pay us $1,000 and we'll make this go away, is essentially what this boils down to. And there's a lot of prosecutors in the state and defense attorneys and everybody else saying, what's going on down there? How does he getting out of this? I don't think we've necessarily seen the end of this.
Well, we'll see what happens with this. This has been very interesting, and like Linda suggested, if you or I were to barge into a school and start, rush past the office and into a classroom and start making demands, we would probably have a very different outcome. So it's been very interesting to watch this. Lawyers can certainly help out when you're in a fix, and I think we saw it happen here.
And he hired one of the best lawyers in Arizona.
He did indeed. And he remains head of the Appropriations Committee. He has a very powerful position in the legislature. It's doubtful that any ethics investigation will ensue as a result of this.
Well, we will see if Mark is right and that we have not heard the last of this. I want to thank my guest, Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic, Mark B. Evans of TucsonCitizen.com. Joining us on the Reporters Roundtable. We will be right back with Matt Russell.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Looking for that perfect late summer getaway? I recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Ranked number one on TripAdvisor, Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at bearmountainlodge.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Weekend Watch is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Arts, hiking, birding, Silver City's historic downtown. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico make a wonderful and cool mountain weekend getaway this Labor Day weekend. And there are plenty of great places to stay, including the Little Toad Creek Inn, you heard that right, and Georgetown Cabins. For more information, log on to southwestnewmexico.org. On the line now for Weekend Watch. Matt, are you there?
I'm here, Dan. You're doing a great job on the show today, on the Dan Shearer Show. What a pleasure.
Well, I'm not going to quit my day job, but thank you. So, a big, big, long weekend here. What's going on?
Absolutely, Dan. Now, with tonight's U of A football game home opener, we thought some gourmet hot dogs would make for some great pregame chow. Now, gourmet hot dogs don't necessarily have to be an oxymoron. If you go down to a new place, Dan, called Mutt's, which is right in Geronimo Plaza at Park in Euclid, they serve up 20 signature hot dogs and sausages ranging in price from about $3 to just a little over $5. And they're open until 11 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. So I say grab some dogs from Mutt's this afternoon before heading over to the Arizona Stadium for the big game.
Hey, I got to tell you, man, the closest – okay, I went to one U of A football game in my entire life. But did you know, even though I graduated from there, I lived in the side – I lived in one of those dorms built into the side of the stadium.
No better dorm, Dan.
I tell you, it was just awesome. That was as close as I came to the games during as when I was a student. But I will probably head over to Mutt's because that sounds – terrific. What else you got?
Do it. Yeah. Well, you know, Sophisticates of Craft Suds have much to celebrate tomorrow. Beginning at noon at the 1055 Brewing Company, they're going to be hosting an expansion party in their newly renovated tap room, which is over at 3810 East 44th Street. Now, apparently this local beer has attracted quite a following, and they needed to make some more room to accommodate all their thirsty patrons. So what better place to throw a party than in their newly expanded tap room? Lots of great beer will be on hand, some great food from some of the great food trucks in town, and some live music, too. Check out the Tap Room Expansion Party at 1055 Brewing tomorrow at noon and going all night long.
Excellent. That sounds great. And it is Labor Day weekend, and what's better than what?
Barbecue, baby.
There we go.
Barbecue. We surely have a lot of options all across Tucson. My pick for this weekend is Mr. K's Barbecue on River and Stone. Now, these guys use local mesquite in their smoker, which is where all the magic happens for some succulent brisket and some ribs, chicken, pork shoulder, the whole thing. And if you go on Monday, you'll get $2 off any meat by the pound. So come on, it's Labor Day. Take the day off and let Mr. K's do all the work. Now, are you a barbecue guy, Dan?
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. Mr. K's sounds terrific.
Yeah,
now,
as a matter of fact, I'm going to be in Reno, Nevada starting tomorrow. I'm a judge at the nation's largest barbecue rib event. 500,000 people are going to be in Reno, and I have the tough job of being an adjudicator at this highly decorated event. I'm excited.
Okay, that sounds terrific. Hey, have you made it down to Sawarita to Pub 22? You know what I'm talking about, I'm sure.
I do, the former El Charro.
Yeah.
We're actually going to be heading down there, I think, next week to give it a shot. I like what I hear. I love the concepts that the Flores family puts together, and I'm excited to head down.
I tell you, we are so glad they're there. We're so glad that they believe in that community down there. And guess what, Matt? I'm the birthday boy today. I think I'm heading over to Pub 22. I don't know.
Well, that comes from a lot of endorsements. I've heard great things. Happy birthday, Dan Shearer.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, we'll be right back. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you have a great Labor Day weekend. And returning next week is the master himself, Bill. Thank you for joining us this week. We've had a great time filling in for him.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama says the use of chemical weapons in